Hello and welcome to Real Time with Women Leaders in Pharma. My name is Cindy Woodcock and I am the Communications Lead for the Mentoring Committee at WLP. I have the pleasure of hosting today's episode entitled The Critical Role of Authenticity as a Mentor. Mentorship is a great passion of mine and I'm very excited to have the opportunity to sit down with Emma Charles, who is Senior Vice President Intercontinental Markets at Bristol Myers Squibb. In this role, Emma oversees a diverse region with responsibilities for over 70 markets across the world. Emma is passionate about accelerating and expanding access of innovative medicines to patients and about fostering employee engagement that thrives on diversity, inclusion, and a strong speak-up culture. Her biopharma career spans more than 25 years across commercial, corporate strategy, and business development operations. Emma graduated from a leading French business school in Paris in marketing, finance, and Emma currently resides in Italy with her family. We know that having a professional mentor has always been important, but I think it plays an even bigger part today in career success in a post-pandemic world. Emma, welcome to the show. And before we get started, I just wanted to take a minute and get your perspective on how to get that perfect mentoring relationship.
Thank you, Cindy. It's really my pleasure to be here with you and to do this post together. So I think to have a successfully mentoring, you absolutely need to have three ingredients that makes it, I think, to my knowledge, successful. Is that I call them the three pillars. The first one is you need to engage in a relation of trust. The second thing is you need to have time to dedicate to this program. And the last one is you need to be present. You need to be 100% concentrating on the discussion and make sure that you are fully dedicating your active listening and your presence to that moment. I think this is fundamental. If you don't have those three ingredients, I don't believe you can make it a successful experience for the mentor and for the mentee.
So Emma, what's your thought on some mentors thinking that they have to have, you know, years of experience and they have to have a very senior job? Do you have to have all that behind you before you can be a mentor? What's your thought on that?
I think, you know, mentoring somebody is really something you need to invest your time on, but you know, you don't need to be a super senior leader to become a mentor. I think I've started mentoring colleagues when I had like a director role. And it was also not necessarily related to business. It was also related to development or career opportunity or being a woman in the industry. So sometimes it can really vary. And I don't think you need a certain level to become a mentor. I think you need to have some experience and be able to share some kind of learning, you know, failures, but also success. And I think authenticity is also something that is extremely valuable. If you consider mentoring somebody, I hope you and the mentee will be very authentic, because this is how you can establish a good relationship and this is how you can progress and share together. And I think this makes it a very constructive experience.
So what does authenticity mean to you and how does it relate to mentorship?
Being authentic for me is being yourself. Being yourself with your own self-awareness. It means your own area of strengths and your own area of weaknesses. Being aware of it, and also being able to share sometimes your vulnerability. I think we are all human beings. We all have our own insecurities, area of, you know, doubts, and we also are aware of our area of strengths. So I think being authentic is being able to share those things, because it will certainly make the other person comfortable, also sharing the same kind of like features or profile. And I think this is again how you progress if you are really being yourself.
And authenticity can go two ways, on the half of the mentor and as well as the mentee, correct?
Exactly.
Okay.
And I think the kind of magic moment is when you enter into this kind of circle of trust where you feel like you can be authentic and you can share some of the good things, but also some area where you're struggling. And this is not a problem because you're not going to be judged or you're not going to be like blamed, or there will not be a kind of negative feedback. I think authenticity is also enabling you to have true feedback, you know,
Right.
and sometimes it is hard to give feedback, especially when you have to give some kind of, you know, development feedback. And being authentic is also finding the right words to explain to the person that this area can be done in a better way, or this person needs to work on this, but in a very respectful way. You know, authenticity is not like being blunt and going and telling everything, you know, in a strange manner. I think it's also being able to find the right words.
So I like, Emma, how you just talked about sort of that magic moment and that circle of trust. And I think it really does go hand in hand. And I just, that's going to resonate with me, that magic moment. So how do you think authenticity contributes to building that positive relationship between mentors and mentees?
So authenticity to me, again, as I said, is like not being afraid of sharing who you are, and not share, you know, not being afraid of also sharing that sometimes things they don't always go right. There are some moments where you have some failures, or you have some doubts, or you're not sure about, you know, where to go, what to say, and it's okay to say it. It's again, we are not like robots. We are human beings. We all have our own, you know, experience, history, family. There's a lot of things around ourselves that can also influence who we are. Authenticity for me is a strength. It's a strength because I think it allow you to move certainly faster because you're going directly to the point. You're being yourself and you don't pretend to be another person.
Do you think authenticity is something that is innate, or is that something that you can develop in as a skill set?
No, I think it really depends on the personality of people. You know, I don't have great knowledge about that, but I believe that sometimes introvert people are maybe more open to talk and to say things because this is a little bit the nature of their personality. You may have some people that are maybe more introvert and so maybe they are a bit shy, but it doesn't mean that they cannot share what they feel. I think
Right.
it's a matter of, again, finding the right moment, the right person, feeling yourself in a kind of safe harbor. And I think probably if you are mentoring somebody that is an introvert or that is maybe somebody that is a little bit shy to proactively talk, I
Right.
think the maybe the strategy is to ask question, and to be really in your active listening mode to try to understand this person's feeling and how to help this person to share with you things that will enable this person to progress or to reach whatever objective this person has in the mentoring relationship.
Right. Well, that's it. It really is, you know, a two-way street, and both sides really have so much to add to the relationship. Emma, I've done some research as I was preparing for today, and I saw some background information, and you have a quite a unique approach to building those relationships, and it's called the what-if approach. Can you share with us what that what-if approach entails?
Yeah, I mean, I Oftentimes, my colleagues or peers, they have called me the what if person, because I try to. So maybe it okay. I'm going back. But maybe this is something that is also a development opportunity for me. I am somebody that is very driven. I can be very fast. I can take decision very quickly, and I think I've learned how to pause and stop and check. What if this decision is not the right one? What if this maybe ambition that I have is could be managed in a different way? So I am trying sometimes to introduce a moment of like pause and reflection, instead of running into a decision. And I'm going to give you an example that is related to my career. At a certain point, I was approached to become the GM of Italy for Bristol Myers Squibb. And at the beginning, I was like, oh my God, I may not be qualified for this role because I don't speak fluently Italian. Most of the previous general manager were all male and they were all Italian. And then maybe they also had a very good understanding about the Italian system, Italian politics, and so on. So I was like, oh, maybe I should not even consider this position because I am not maybe the right person. And suddenly I kind of pause and say, but you know, what if I'm going to learn Italian? And what if I'm highly motivated and I'm going to, you know, do my best to learn quickly about the Italian environment, connect with the right people to get up to speed with everything that I need to know for the job. And then I'm like, yeah, I have nothing to lose. I am highly motivated by this company. I am highly motivated by the role. This is like the job of my dreams. So why don't I give it a try? What if I'm gonna win that job?
And look what happened.
Exactly.
And
Yeah, you know, it was a lot of work though, because you know, I kind of, you know, I had the ambition to speak Italian fluently, and it's not easy to learn a completely new language at a certain age, right?
yes.
You're not a child, you know, anymore. Those children that can speak very quickly, like you know, different languages. But my motivation was so high, and I wanted to be part of the team. I didn't want to have translation, the filter of the translation. So I said, okay, I need to learn as quickly as I can this language. And honestly, if you are highly motivated and you take some class and people are very helpful because they know you're making the effort, it can happen.
Well, that's certainly an inspirational story. And I it just warms my heart to think that, you know, you have learned an entirely new language to meet the needs of the organization in that market and your team. So in your role as a leader, Emma, you do you encourage your team to use the what if approach, and what are their thoughts on this method?
Absolutely. I am a big fan of what I call brainstorming session. So, but I guess if you have a senior role, you need to, when you start a brainstorming session, you need to tell your team, okay, now we are not taking a decision. I am not the boss, and then let's put ourselves into a brainstorming moment where we are just trying to think about how do we solve that problem. What if we look at this option? What if we look, and I want to hear all ideas. Let's, you know, let's be in that moment of like ideation, finding solution. Even if they're crazy, they don't make sense, I don't care. I just want to build on each other and maybe try to be creative. And this is how I try to use the what if. And for that, again, you need to be a little bit in the in a circle of trust because people need to feel free to express ideas and not to be judged. And you know, I think there's nothing worse than when you start brainstorming, somebody say, oh yes, but we have done it and it doesn't work. The person receiving that message will not participate anymore. So you need to be very sensitive to, you know, listening, not judging, being authentic, and allowing this moment to be a brainstorming moment. Maybe I'm not having the best idea, and certainly I will not have the best idea. Maybe somebody will have the best idea, and maybe we will build on each other's idea. And this is how I think you create also a lot of fun, because if you are in that moment of like brainstorming and sometimes you know, having a little bit of funny ideas and more serious ideas, and then you can really have this moment of like team building as well.
Yeah, and I think, you know, sort of indicating ahead of time with your brainstorming session that no ideas are bad ideas.
Exactly.
I think that's really important. So getting back to authenticity, Emma, what advice would you give to individuals who are aspiring to mentor and want to prioritize authenticity in their approach?
I think when you start the mentoring, it will be important to dedicate some time to introduce each other, and not like in a speedy way. I would say maybe usually when you mentor somebody, you have the first hour together, and I think there's nothing worse than saying, okay, I'm here and here and I've done this and that, and okay, what is your objective about the mentoring? What? No, I think it is important to dedicate the first moment together to explain who you are, what is your background, what is your experience, what are you trying to do with this mentoring relationship, how the person wants to, work with, I think it's important to spend the time at the beginning and invest a little bit in this information. Because once you will be in your mentoring kind of routine, you're not going to go back to that. So invest the time to tell who you are and learn about the other person, and ask questions, because this is the moment where you need to understand the other person's personality, the way this person is listening, the way this person is talking. And this is a little bit the first impression of your mentoring. So it is a special moment. It is a moment that you need to invest on. And then after the second session will be maybe dedicated to one area that you want to work with that person. And then you define the way you want to work together. But the first moment, I think, is important to invest time about, who you are, who that person is, what is the background. Otherwise, you may miss some important information that will be helpful moving forward.
Right, right. Well, that's great insight, Emma. Thank you so much. In a mentoring relationship, there's going to be some challenges and obstacles to overcome. So what, in your in perspective, how can mentors and mentees overcome obstacles and challenges in the relationship while still remaining and being authentic?
Right. I think one area is once you've done this, a little bit deep dive into your personality and who you are, I think the next session would be how do we want to work together? And what is the frequency? And what is the time that we are going to, the duration of this mentorship? Because oftentimes there are some, if you let too many weeks passing by, you may lose a little bit the focus on the relationship, and you may forget what has been said. So I think one of the key success factor for me, at least, I don't know, maybe some people have other advice, but try to make sure that you see this person every 4 weeks, every 5 weeks, don't let too much time. And then also try to identify rapidly what are the area that this person would like to focus on. And then you can also, in between the time, so if you say, okay, let's see each other every 4 weeks or 6 weeks, when you think about something that might be interesting for your mentee, an article or something, you can also connect and say, oh, I was thinking about you. And this is something that I would like to share because I remember in your conversation, you mentioned that this is maybe an area of interest and you would like to learn more about that. So it's not like tick the box every 3 months you talk. No, I think it's like building a relationship. Then the difficulty for me has been always to close the mentorship because I cannot be mentoring many people for many years, right? So usually you define a period of time and you say, okay, we are going to work together for about 1 year. And oftentimes my problem after 1 year, the mentee is asking, okay, can I continue? Because I mean it's good for me. And I'm like, well, maybe we need to close because I also need to, connect with some other people and I cannot have with my schedule too many mentorship with different people. But what happened is like I am still in contact with a lot of people that I've mentored and sometimes we connect, but obviously not as frequently as when we are in a mentoring relationship.
Well, I think those few testimonials speak volumes to your ability to be an excellent mentor, Emma. So thank you for sharing. Emma, you've had a really varied career, and I wanted to know if you could share an experience when authenticity played a crucial role in your mentorship journey.
So I had one mentee one day that was struggling a lot with authority without being the manager, like leading without authority in a project team. And this person was struggling a lot and was very in need of support. And the situation was very politically complex, with many people trying to interfere and not working I would say in a collaborative way. So she was seeking some advice and actually I said, you know what? I went through the same thing and it was a nightmare for me a few years back. And I had one person actually, that was very jealous of me being the project lead. So this person was like trying to had some kind of unproductive behaviors, and so it was very difficult for me to manage this team. So when I said that, my mentee was like, "Oh, really? So you went there, you had also a lot of struggle with this group and managing the situation." I said, absolutely. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know, how should I address some people that were not behaving in the right way, and I was not their manager or something. So, and it's very political. And so I went through the example and I went through my kind of struggle and how I managed to try to solve the situation and the evolution of the situation. And being very honest about my own struggle became very helpful for her because she started to say, well, I'm happy to know that this happened and this can happen to also experienced leader and then that we need to find solution. And then we decided to put a plan in place together to look at, okay, we're going to work on this, the communication, putting things on the table, trying to, bring the team together, have a candid and honest conversation about how the team is functioning and not functioning well. So, and this was very helpful for that person. But I think my point is, I try to give her an example, not some theory. I try to give her some things that I went through myself. And so she kind of felt, okay, I'm not alone. I'm not somebody that is in a difficult situation. This can happen to other, and so it was a kind of practical example, and I think she appreciated that.
When we talk about lived experience, I think that as a teachable moment, Emma, is so very much important as opposed to theory. So thank you very much for sharing your experience on helping a mentee. Well, I can't believe that we are already at the end of our time. Emma, I want to thank you so much for spending this time with me today and for sharing your thoughts and approach on mentorship. Your passion on this topic clearly shines through, and I could spend the rest of the day talking to you about this topic. To our listeners, thank you very much for joining us today at Real Time with Women Leaders in Pharma. To find out more about Women Leaders in Pharma and how we strive to empower women working in the pharmaceutical industry to reach their full potential, please visit www.womenleadersinpharma.com.
Thank you so much, Cindy, and it was my pleasure to spend the time with you today. Thank you again.